necessary. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you.
I have a dream. Satisfied as long as the Negro is the fifth victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin?
Hello, welcome to Young King Truth Tell. This is Kanye Tetsubo.
Today I just want to share my thoughts and emotions. I feel like I'm honestly avoiding trying to make this, like, I'm kind of trying to run away from it. Originally, I did record another session, but it didn't turn out the way I thought it would turn out, because honestly, it's like I'm running away from something since all that has happened in the last few months. So let me start off by saying that today is my birthday, and I am grateful to everyone who has told me happy birthday, from Instagram to Twitter to Tumblr, Facebook, all that, and mainly those who have called and texted my phone. And honestly, for me, even before that, even before today, I just felt like today was just gonna be another day as usual, because hey, for me, this how it always has been for a while now. But today in particular, it was more mundane than anything. And one of those reasons I would say is more mundane is the fact that my grandfather isn't around. And when I was just sitting up here in the house talking to my grandmother, it was like the house is just so quiet, and the TV in the living room isn't on. And it just feels unrealistic, honestly. I'm also dealing with an injury where I sprained my ankle, twisted honestly 3 times, and I don't know what's possibly wrong with my ankle. Like, it's to the point where honestly I can't really put on shoes without having to really force my foot in there, because it's numb on the surface. I wouldn't say underneath my foot, but on top of my foot. And if my grandfather were alive, I possibly would have been already out to the hospital or so. He would have taken me out there. They would wait out there with me. Or he would have had some type of old school remedy. Because I tried an old school remedy that a coworker had told me about, and I've done what she said to the very last letter, and it hasn't worked. But knowing him, he possibly known something, because he was a runner back in school. So if anyone would know something about healing a foot injury, it would be someone who has ran track and has ran a good majority of their life. And then on top of that, it's also dealing with the fact that my friend, ex-girlfriend, ex-fiance, her passing also, and it's like both of them passing at the same time in the same month, has really, I believe, affected me to the point where I'm possibly even considering now therapy, because I'm just emotionally drained, and then I'm in pain from my foot, and then this whole coronavirus and seeing how scared people are frustrates me, because it's like the media and Facebook, social media at least, is scaring people into a frenzy, And seeing as how these people are so afraid, it frustrates me. Because Sunday, not even Sunday, it was Friday. When I was trying to, no, actually it was Sunday. It was Sunday. Because we just got off of work that morning. Yeah, because we went in Saturday, got off Sunday morning, and me and my coworker, we waited for the trolley, didn't come. We were trying to look for the updates for when the trolley would come, and it was not updating. So we end up having to walk to the actual bus stop. And from there, we caught the bus to the train station, got off, went and got something to eat at 7-Eleven. He went on his way to get home. I went on my way. And this whole coronavirus thing has honestly gotten people to the point where you cannot ride the bus or ride the train or trolley without a mask. And I'm just eating pizza. I was in the don't care mood because in May of 2019, we believed that I already had contracted the coronavirus, honestly. Because I got sick to the point where it was bad. And it started that evening after I had got to work. By the time 8 o'clock that night came, my throat was itchy. My body was weak. My job as a security, we're told we're not supposed to sit down. And when you have someone who is saying, nah, I gotta take the chance on risking my job just because of how weak you are from something, yeah, you know something is not right. And this is not even exaggeration. This is literally what happened at work, and people saw me. And then another coworker from that job, he ended up catching the same thing. So we both ended up catching it after the people started coughing, sneezing in front of our faces and everything. And a lot of people at that job, like the tourists at least, they were, many of them were Asian. So it's kind of funny how we're saying that it came from Asia and then all of this. So for me, it kind of started making a little more sense. And maybe the government has released it a lot sooner, but it didn't pick up until later throughout 2019. And then look at it now in 2020. So this is basically what happened. And this is where I'm starting to kind of consider therapy, because all this do tie in. And what I just have told you, and pretty much I get there and I'm just eating my pizza, don't care. I go up there, I'm on the platform, and I start passing by these two black police officers, and they're telling me about mask. And in my head I'm like, y'all scared? Y'all aren't most black people religious? And this is what I'm thinking in my head, because when you think about it, look at how many black people go to church. Look at these mega churches. All these so-called religious people, in my mind, are scared. And if you're not scared of what dying before or what comes before or after, then why are you scared to die? Isn't your whole belief around pretty much death and not being afraid to die because you know that there's a better life after this one? So that's my mindset, because I'm a very spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. I'm not an atheist either, but my belief more grounded in I wouldn't say complete science either, but alchemy, where it's a mixture of both. And that's a different topic and a lot more complicated, but for me, death is not the end, and no one should be afraid of dying. It's something that should be embraced and welcomed and celebrated and pretty much seen as not a final step, but another step in your journey into being greater. Because I read the stories up from Kemet. I read the stories from Nigeria with the Orisha and their spiritual beliefs. And their spiritual beliefs, I would say, harmonize with me. And it makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside when I talk about those things and think about them. And that's just me. So back to what I'm saying. And I'm going to ramble on like this a lot. Just letting you know. So basically, I get there and I'm eating my pizza and they're telling me about this whole thing. And then I tell them how I had caught it last year. And then that's when they start trying to kind of slowly walking up to me. And they're like, and it's like, okay. So I tell them about how I caught it, and now I'm just throwing away the thing with from when I had the pizza, the box at least. And I pull out a mask, and I'm asking, before I even put it on my face, I ask them, are they religious? And they say, not my business. And I say again, but y'all black. So I would believe that y'all would be religious, super religious. And he's like, that's not my business. So I said, but y'all are afraid to die from this. And they're like, again, not my business. And it's like, oh, okay. So you religious people are scared to death, but you put your so-called faith in your God. It sounds like you don't really believe or have faith in your God, but you say you do. And they're like, sir, that's just not our business. And I believe I kind of got that habit of from my grandfather, just slightly a little bit, because that would be something that he would have done, honestly. And it was like I wasn't afraid of what they possibly would have done or anything. And then this other security guard was like telling me, oh, and you shouldn't even be eating up here. And I continued to eat in front of him. And that's when I guess I kind of scared them a little bit, and they just walk away from me. They walked completely away on the other side from me. And as they were walking away, they were still talking under their breath, and I could hear them. And the other one, he just went downstairs, while the other one stayed up there. He pretty much was like, I guess, looking at me. So, and I just after a while, just held my mask up to my face, but not completely putting it on. And I guess like he really tried to avoid me, just walked through my area, but on the other side, and refused to come towards the actual platform part where the train would be at. Until I got on the train, and then he walked that way past me. And for me, it wasn't even fear of what they would do to me or anything. It was more I was angry at how afraid that the media has made black people to the point where they are afraid of what they don't understand. And also kind of angry at religion too, because religion has made black people scared, and the media on top of that is making black people scared on top. And it's two things that's frustrating that you can't force on people. You can share your view and you give your opinion, but you just can't force your beliefs on other people. And that's something that I have to come to realize and accept. Because just because I'm not afraid, don't mean other people aren't. And then, like I said, also, with my foot, it's like I'm dealing with that and possibly thinking I'm going to be crippled. Because I can't barely walk properly. So, frustration from that and everything else it's at an all-time high. And it's like, I'm just trying to bury the thoughts of those two dying deep down inside. And I find myself honestly thinking about them each and every day when I look at their photos and I listen to voice notes that she sent me. And then I look at the last video of him that I took, and I blame not him for what had happened, but I blame everyone else. Because if I had known that there was something truly wrong, maybe I could have done something. And that's how I feel. Maybe I could have done something, because I was told that he had dementia, but they didn't say how. When I know that dementia came with, I guess, levels, and how far it wasn't. For me, everything that was going on was pretty much normal behavior, because that's how it came to be inside this house. Normal behavior. So when he started talking to the pillow, thinking that it was my grandmother after she had ended up in the hospital that Saturday, and that's when I started realizing that something wasn't right with him. And that's when I tried to call for an ambulance to come get him, but instead they sent the police. So I still do feel guilty for that, because I remember how he sounded before they took him away, and I'm wearing this guilt on me heavy, I guess. And with her, we were supposed to actually hang out that Monday, and I was frustrated from everything that was already going on. That we made a promise to talk to each other every day. She told me, because she had told me she went to the hospital that Saturday, and I was so focused on work and also trying to stay awake at work, I ain't talked to her that Sunday or Monday, and then Tuesday, she's dead. And then 2 days later, my grandfather dies. So it's like, I guess I'm wearing guilt and shame heavy, and I'm angry at everything. So for me, today, my birthday, or at least that was yesterday, it would have been great, but it's like two people who I never would have thought would have died, or who I seen as the strongest people in life that could live through possibly a nuclear explosion, because that's how tough they were, are gone. And there's nothing I can do about it. There is, in life, there is no reset button. There is no respawning like in a video game. This life that we have is what we get. And even though, in my belief, I know that they're not really gone, it's just, and I know it's just their physical forms that are gone and not their spiritual forms, it still feels heavy. And one day I was talking to a resident at my job, and I had to catch myself before I start crying in front of him, because he was saying that he had sickle cell, his sister had sickle cell, and how his sister, 57, and this guy, he is an older gentleman, I would say more than likely between 50 and 60, but we're all black. We know he could be possibly a little older and looking a lot younger. And in my mind, I'm like, so why didn't she get that opportunity to be able to live that long? Why was she taken away? And with him, is like the person who he called a friend is, in my mind, the reason why he's dead. And I can never forgive that person or forget. Because that's just my personality, where I don't forgive or forget, especially when it's done to people who, even though you annoyed me, I would never disrespect you. And I want it to be acknowledged by you. And then I feel like my mother blames me for it, because she pretty much blocked everyone on Facebook. And the day of his funeral, she showed up late. And not only did she show up late, but didn't even acknowledge me being there. And I haven't really talked to my brothers since then either. So it's like a lot. It's like you want to cry, but you can't. And because you know you got to be strong. You got to have this brave face that you can't let no one see you when you're at your weakest. And I think that's a flaw that need to be addressed, because we as black men should be able to have normal human emotions and not be like robots. Because we're not robots. We're people. We're human. And there's nothing wrong with it. Because sometimes I feel like screaming and just yelling. And other times I'll be honest, I contemplate suicide. But at the same time, it's like I can't do that, because I have other people who I have to live for and be there for and do for. I just can't go out like that. So it's like an eternal battle, and this struggle is honestly real. So I'm going to finish up by saying what it means to be the uncanny truth teller to me, because a lot of people don't understand what it means to be the uncanny truth teller. Because I've been telling this, my truth at least, for a good few years now. And it started on my Facebook page, pretty much. And once that one video had blew up and people started trying to add me on Facebook, I came to the point where I got tired of arguing with people trying to force my views, or at least they force their views on me. And if you force your views on me, I'm going to obviously fight back. And maybe that's why I have a thing where now I stop trying to force my views, because it's like I came to the point where if you didn't believe in what I believe, then that's just your truth. Because I'm going to live my truth and you're going to live yours. Just don't try to tell me that I'm going to go to hell in your religion just because I don't believe in what you believe. And I would say that very same year is the year that I created the page, the Uncanny Truth Teller. I want it to be like one of those other pages on Facebook where they share knowledge and information, as well as pretty much awaken black people. And it was about doing it in the most uncanny way, but at the same time sticking to my truth and giving you my view of the world and everything. And thus, that's how it was born. And now I'm doing that, but at the same time I want to bring not just truth and knowledge and awaken black people, but at the same time I want to promote positive black images. Because a lot of the times when we see the media, what we see in the media is they are not promoting black people, or even we're not even represented to in a very positive light. And this is what also kind of made me make that video I made yesterday, because I'm tired of people talking about love everyone and love the world. Well, what about us black people? We need to love ourselves and love our own. You have all these people, all these YouTubers, these Facebook pages, these people, They'll tell you to love everyone, but damn, loving yourself and your own people. They do not like it when someone like me tells you to love yourself and love your own people, because I'm not promoting what they trying to make the social norm. The social norm is for them to pit black men and women against each other and to stop having black children and to make more mixed children. So for me, on my page, that's what I do. I promote black love and the well-being between black people. And that's just who I am, because I have always, since I first discovered what blackness is, have always loved black women to death. And that's just who I am.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Uncanny Truth Teller with Kanye Titsubo. If you like more, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well follow us on Anchor at The Uncanny Truth Teller. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And with that being said, thank you for listening. Goodbye.